Welcome to Extreme Faith with Dr. Gerard Curry.
This is my Bible.
Tradition and Worship Center.
As I look into the perfect law of liberty, the mirror of God's Word, I see myself as God sees me. I am who He said I am. I am what He said I have. I can do what He said I can do. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, living seed of my living God. My heart is receptive, my mind is alert, and I will never be the same. Never, never, never. I'll never be the same in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God. You may be seated.
It's Healing Academy today, and I do want to talk to us about something that we've got to understand and we've got to stand in faith and believe for. And I've entitled this today, Not Even a Trace of the Enemy Shall Remain. Say that with me. Not even a trace of the enemy shall remain. Praise God. Now, you've got to remember that when Jesus was in the wilderness being tested and tempted by the enemy, the devil, the Bible says after Jesus stood against the temptation, the Bible clearly states that the enemy, Satan, left for a more opportune time. He was coming back. He left for a season. So you know that the enemy will hit and hit and hit, and as you stand against him, he leaves for a while. Then he comes back again to try it again, but he'll leave again. But I'm talking about not even a trace of the enemy shall remain. So go with me to the book of Nahum. Nahum is in the Old Testament, and check it up on your phone, open your Bibles, make a note of this. But we're looking at Nahum chapter 1, verse 1, and we're looking at the King James Version of this. And here's what it says. This records the vision which burdened a man named Nahum, who came from the town of Elkosh. The vision is a message from God pronouncing what is coming to the city of Nineveh, the capital of the Assyrian Empire. Verse 2, the Eternal One, the Lord, won't tolerate anything that distracts from Him and will avenge and settle the score on behalf of His covenant people. Now, verse 2, I took from the Voice translation because it just makes it a bit clearer to understand. Verse 1 is King James. Verse 2, I took from the Voice, which says, the Eternal One, the Lord, won't tolerate anything that distracts from Him and, watch here, will avenge and settle the score on behalf of His covenant people. Wow. So whatever comes and attacks you and is taking your attention from God, God says, no, 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 no. I will settle the score on your behalf because you're a covenant child of mine. Now, if you're born again, you're a covenant child of God. We've been grafted in with the Israelites through the Son of God, Jesus Christ, and the blood of the Lamb, which committed the new covenant, the old covenant, the new covenant, Old Testament, New Testament. So if you're a covenant child with God, here's what He says again. He says, I, God, won't tolerate anything that distracts from Me, and I will avenge and settle the score on behalf of My covenant people. I just changed it around to make it personal. Now watch here. The Eternal Lord will serve up justice when His anger finally overflows. He brings justice to those who oppose Him and sustains His fury toward those who work against Him. So this is an incredible, strong Old Testament promise where God says, I'm not going to tolerate anything that distracts you from Me, and I will avenge you and settle the score on behalf of you, My covenant child. Okay, so what is it that is distracting you from God? I know sickness distracts people from God because we're in so much pain, we can't focus on God, and we're concentrating and focusing on getting healed, being made well, getting the medication, going to the doctors, paying for all of this, checking the insurance. That is a distraction from the eternal Lord and the Savior. I pray you're going to get this today. I know you will, because you're Word of Faith people, and God is going to touch your life and bring a revelation to you. So watch what he says here. He says, anything that distracts you from God. Listen, if finances are a major burden in your life, and you've got to work two jobs, and you've got to go for loans, and you've got to beg, steal, and borrow. And I don't mean steal in that sense of the word, but you've got to do everything you can to get the finances in so that you can get some peace and rest. That financial burden and problem is a distraction from God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You've got to understand that God says, anything that distracts you from me as a covenant child, I'm going to settle that score. I'm going to take care of the problem for you. Amen. There's a new promise for you to hang on to. Remember this. You've got to remember Nahum, chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. That is a covenant promise from God. Now remember, he says the New Testament promises are even better than the Old Testament promises. So he has a great promise. You want to tell me there's better ones? Yeah, there are. But he has a promise that you can pray. I've got prayers that I pray over my food that come from the Old Covenant. Yeah. I'm still believing the promises of the Old Covenant. Aren't you? Well, you better, because in the Old Covenant he said there's going to be a virgin birth. And that birth is going to produce a Savior to the world. That's all Old Covenant. I believe in that, don't you? So don't just write off the Old Covenant. We're living in the New Covenant under the dispensation of grace, but we still claim the promises from the Old Covenant. Praise God. So I love that he says, I'm going to avenge anything from my covenant people that's distracting their attention from whatever it is to me. I'm going to avenge it, and I'm going to put a stop to that. So if sickness has been something that's keeping your attention and your focus off God, God says, I'll take care of that. Amen. So he has a promise. Claim it. Verse 8 says, but with an overrunning flood, God will make an utter end of the place thereof, and darkness shall pursue his enemies. Verse 9, what do you imagine against the Lord? He will make an utter end. Now watch it. Affliction shall not rise up the second time. Come on. Now I remember, and I honest to God mean this, I used to get flu every year. You can ask my brother, he's watching right now, at least 3 or 4 times a year in South Africa. I was a musician as well. I had steakhouses, but I'd play late, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, winter, or 2 o'clock in the morning, winter, you go out, freezing cold, you know, after being warm and perspiring, and then I'd get cold, I'd get the flu, and I used to brag about it, always, you know, I'm going to get flu, I'm getting sick, I am sick, if I'll be the first one to get the flu, all kinds of nonsense, and so I did that, and I had flu over and over and over, and if I didn't get it 3 or 4 times in a year, I certainly got it every year. Don't you know now that every year they call it flu season? I don't. Rather call it health season, because God didn't say there's a flu season. The world does. And so they call it flu season, and you can go and get a free flu shot. And they inject you with the flu, not to get that flu. It's mind-boggling, but here's the deal. Every year it comes back. It tries to come back. When Jesus was tested and tempted in the wilderness, the Bible says that the enemy left him for a season. He was going to come back and try to bring it again. Now, you all know you've been attacked with flu year in and year out, colds year in, year out, sickness year in and year out. And God says, I'm going to make an utter end of this, and that affliction will not rise up a second time. So once I got a hold of the word of God, this is my testimony as far as healing is concerned now, once I started to understand the word of God by studying the word of God, listening to great men and women of God, teaching the word of God, listening to CDs, tapes, reading the Bible, speaking out of my mouth, doing what the word says to do, all of a sudden I started to get symptoms every year, And then I knew how to stand against those symptoms. And instead of having flu for 2 or 3 or 4 weeks, the symptoms would last me maybe for a day, and then it would be gone. Nothing, no flu. And I carried on standing on the word of truth, the word of God, and speaking the word of faith over the symptoms. And do you know that eventually those symptoms would last me maybe 2 or 3 hours? And then I kept doing it. And now, to tell you quite honestly, I don't even experience the symptoms of the flu anymore. And I'm not just saying that. It's the truth. Ask my family. I don't even get those symptoms coming on me. Amen. Now, I may have other symptoms, other things trying to come, but I do the same thing that I did with the colds and the flu. I don't even experience the symptoms of flu anymore. They're gone. God said, I will make an end of that affliction. It will not rise up a second time. Well, if you've got a sickness in your life and it's been plaguing you for years, or if it's a financial problem plaguing you for years, or an addiction or whatever it is, God said it's distracting you from Him. And you being a covenant child, now I'm talking to born again people, right? You being a covenant child of God have an absolute right to confess and claim that promise, said, Lord, you're going to avenge me. You're going to get rid of this thing, and it's not going to rise its ugly head again because I'm a covenant child of yours. Woo. You know, when you think about Isaiah, the Bible says that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Why? He says, because, and every tongue that rises up against you in judgment, you shall condemn. Why? Because they are of my righteousness. In other words, you're a covenant child. That's why He takes care of us. He's covenant children. I take care of my covenant children. I take care of my real children. We are God's children now, so He takes care of us. But if you're not born again, you're on your own. So, amen. So Nahum wrote this book, and he was relatively unknown, and he wrote this book around about the time that Jeremiah was alive and prophesying. And Nahum was from Ilkosh in Judah. Judah happens to be Jerusalem today. Judah, the city where David ruled. Now watch here. Nahum prophesied about the time of Jeremiah, and most scholars believe that his prophecy began about 620 BC. And his message he was prophesying now, we know about him because we read about Jonah. The message that he was prophesying, Nahum, was that Nineveh will fall. Nineveh will fall. Remember, God sent Jonah, said, go to Nineveh. And Jonah said, he's not going to Nineveh. He went the opposite way. And God said, no, you've got to go to Nineveh. And he went there eventually. You know the story. He was in the belly of a whale. He came out of the belly of that whale. And he then, what he did was he spoke the words God gave him in Nineveh. Come on, think about that. And they all got saved, every one of them. That whole city, sackcloth and ashes, and they started to worship God. But soon after that, they had repented at the preaching of Jonah. What they did was they fell back into their old sinful ways, unfortunately. And Nineveh was the Assyrian capital situated on the Tigris River. It, Nineveh, fell in 612 BC. Think about that. That was like 8 years after all of this took place. And you can see that in Jonah 1, chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. And so this message for Nineveh came to Nahum by a vision from God.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Extreme Faith. To hear this message in its entirety, log on to traditionworshipcenter.com or join us for our live services on Sundays at 10 a.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. with youth and children's services available, located at 10799 Southwest Civic Lane, Port St. Lucie, in our beautiful Tradition Square Town Hall facility.
Pastel Brazil Cafe serves fresh empanadas, salgados, and desserts daily, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., Monday through Saturday. Located at 8275 U.S. 1, Port St. Lucie. Available at 954-257-4957.
Welcome to Enjoying Everyday Life with New York Times bestselling author Joyce Meyer. On today's program, Joyce will be teaching from her series, What is Love?